Listings' number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey stats, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BriskNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, October 31 at Keeneland, the $100,000 Perryville Stakes was won by Hebronville, a three-year-old colt in the first crop by Majestic Perfection. Under top weight of 122 pounds, Hebronville held a forward position from the offset, got through along the rail approaching the 16th fold to take command, got the six furlongs in 109-3. He has also won the Grade 3 Jersey Shore Stakes at Monmouth this year and placed in three more stakes, including the Grade 2 Futurity at Belmont. Winner bred by Padua Stables, he is a $135,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales. He was then resold at the OBS March sale for $250,000, and now he's accumulated earnings of over $352,000. See what we mean when we say that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit? Majestic Perfection is also the sire of the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks winner Lovely Maria, winner also of the Grade 1 Ashland and Keenan and over $1 million, four stakes winners and eight stakes horses in his first crop. Described by Steve Asmussen as the fastest horse I've ever seen. Grade 1 winner Majestic Perfection by Harlan's Halo stands for $20,000 live foal of Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And let me remind you again, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the fence they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, pull away, pull away.
The people.
Here comes Tim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Secretary of the Quincy Play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
Well, good morning, everyone. And we are here at the Thoroughbred Center, as usual. We're over in the HBPA office, which is over by the old Whitney Stud Barn, barn number 28 here at the Thoroughbred Center now. Little stone building there, if you want to stop by and say hello. We're sitting right here. Michael Blowen is on his way in. He has been absent. He's been skipping the show here for the last 3 weeks. He's, you know, he's so popular now and in such demand as a speaker. he just works us in when he can. But Jackie's kind of under the weather. Well, she's getting over a cold, but she's over here hacking and passing out cough drops and everything. I've got Don Combs. Don's going to sit in with us today and fill in some spaces where Jackie usually talks, and we're going to go from there. Don's just a week late. He was supposed to be on the show last week, but he just plumb forgot, he said. I'm easily forgettable, so that's all we'll forgive you, Don. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine. You know, I drove right past you, too.
I know. I
drove right past you.
Mine
was another place.
Pull that mic a little closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We sent Jackie up to find you, and they said, about 9 o'clock, and she says, oh, he left here an hour ago.
I drove right by here. Right by here.
Oh, well, as I say, I'm easily forgettable. Well, what we're going to do today besides have Don, well, of course, we're going to talk about the Breeders' Cup and some winners of that and some races. And I'll tell you what, Don, kudos to Keeneland. Everything I've heard was great.
Unbelievable. Everything I've heard was great. And I was out there. I ran a horse out there on Thursday, and there was like a Breeders' Cup day almost. They had it set up the same way, and everything went really smoothly. It was very nice.
Yeah, all the reviews I tell you, even God cooperated. The weather was
right.
Good.
It ended up being, you know, I was a little bit worried, though, about the other side of town because all the policemen were out here. I don't know how they made that on the other side of town, but must have every policeman they had out there at Keeneland.
Yeah.
you couldn't even drive. They were lined up.
Well, see, now you're setting it up for the next time it comes to Keeneland. Everybody said, we'll check the liquor stores that day. But anyway, it's and some great racing and so forth. I thought it was
excellent.
It was good. We'll kind of wait till Michael gets here and talk about it a little bit. I brought some charts and everything, and My trusty blood horse is here, and I've got the charts. I've got the charts of all the Kentucky breeds that was in it, that ran in it, and won, that I announced for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. Most of them were Kentucky breeds that won. You know, I think it was a couple of foreign breeds that got close and won. But
right.
And but go ahead.
That horse that ran the mile on Friday. Was it the mile? Was it, or may have been Saturday, the one that Todd Pletcher had in there? Boy, he ran a nice. He's a pretty impressive horse. I think he's undefeated like five straight races.
Yeah, he's.
I don't know which one it is. I can't think which one it is.
I'm having a senior moment, but I'll tell you here in just a second because that's the horse that was into trouble all the way.
In trouble all the way and got out and just blew by.
Yeah. Let's see here. What is his name? He's going to stud over at.
Spendthrift?
No.
Not Spendthrift?
No. Lane's End.
Lane. Oh, that's right. Lane's End. Yeah, right.
Yeah. But that was a.
They had two to go over the stud. That one that Suge had in and finished third in the big race. He's going to Lane's. He's part owned but partly by Lane's End. He's going to stand over there also. I think I saw a picture of
something
him
or the map. What in the hell is his name? Liam's map.
Liam's map.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me see what the chart says. I've got it right here in front of me. Broke slowly from the gate, was eager along the inside in the first turn, continued along through the back stretch, steadied when set up between a seam nearing the 5/8 pole, shifted into the four path entering the lane, surged past the leader in the stretch, switched leads late while ridden out to the finish. He went by 2.5 lengths and ran the mile 134.2 to win a race too far. He won it. Yeah.
He was... pretty impressive.
Yeah, he didn't. Like, I don't think he made the lead until
I didn't think
about the 16th.
I didn't think he was going to get through up to the end of the stretch.
I didn't think so either. But Castellano rode at Castellano.
He did a good job to get him through.
Yeah, that was an amazing race. Really, it was. Yeah. And of course, a miler, Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Good time. And I was tickled to death to see the Uncle Mo win, Nyquist win the juvenile, right. Because he's one of my favorite. Uncle Moe's one of my favorites.
Right. You know, but they really had that track pretty fast out there this week, too. I ran in a maiden race on Thursday, and that thing, if they didn't set a track record in that race,
well,
going 6.5, they set a new track record.
Now, are they counting new track records on this surface, or are they going?
I don't know. They ran pretty fast for those 2-year-old maidens that day.
And, yeah, maybe.
And of course, they set that mile and quarter. They don't run that very often, of course. But I figured they had it pretty fast. I know that's a lot different track than American Pharoah that ran up at Saratoga. It's a little deeper up there. I think that suited him really well. He just helped around there.
The last horse I saddled went a mile and a quarter allowance race at Keeneland.
Is that right?
And he went in 209. You think that would have got closer?
you've been over about a half mile pole when he finished.
Yeah, just about. That's sure enough. I've still got that old horse. I don't know if you remember him or not, but big old Chestnut Crafty Admiral Orson looked just like Crafty Admiral.
Oh, really?
Except he stood about 17 hands, and Crafty Admiral was small.
Did Jackie make a hunter out of him?
Yeah. That horse hunted for. She never rode him. But the huntsman rode him.
The huntsman rode him?
Yeah.
Big horse. Yeah, he could see everything going on him, right?
He said he could never get to the bottom of it. I mean, you couldn't get the horse tired.
That was wonderful.
Yeah, that's the reason he won going a mile and a quarter, because he just. Everything else got tired, and he didn't.
Run all day.
But we've still got it. He weighed, when I put him in training, he weighed. That was when Mattress Mac had the horses up here, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And they had a scale, which I love.
Oh, that's they do that in Europe a lot. They weigh those horses a lot over there.
It's a great tool.
I think it's, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I think some people have them in California also.
Yeah. But anyway, I took him up there and weighed him when I brought him in here, and he weighed 1,313 pounds.
My goodness, you could hook him up to the beer wagon.
Yeah. Somebody says, I didn't know Ursula had a broodmare out here. He looked like he was in foal.
Oh, my goodness.
he was fat, you know. I mean, it took me forever to get it off of him. But, you know, I had some fun with him, and he could go long if he – but he's a horse that – would lose his concentration. He would look up in the grandstand if he got coming down on the outside in the stretch, you know. But the day he went out of Keeneland, he came through horses.
So he had something to keep him his attention, I guess.
Yeah. Not only that, something slammed into him at about the 3-6 pole, and I think it ticked him off.
Woke him up a little bit.
Yeah. I tell you, I was standing in a box at about, what was it, Jackie? About the 16th pole?
Yes.
Something like that. And I was watching him, and I couldn't tell, you know, 16th mile away. I couldn't tell what he would want. I was too dumb to look out at the TV screens, you know. I didn't know he'd won. So I was watching the horse. All I could see him was go through a hole in a bunch of horses, you know, and I didn't know he'd won. They started jumping up and down in the box there, and I said, what do you mean? How do you know we won? He said, well, we looked at the TV
screen. Look at the screen, huh? Yeah.
You know me. I'd screw up a one-car funeral, you know. Still training out here now. How'd you run the other day, by the way?
Well, I didn't break very well. When they broke, she went the other way. She sort of backed and leaped out behind the field. So, and not only that, she's very good out of the gate. She's very good out of the gate. I mean, I expect to be on the lead.
Uh-huh.
Of course, that horse that won it came out there and won by about 9 or 10 lengths and set a track record. But I think she's a really nice filly. I think she'll be okay. I'm going to probably run her back at Churchill this week.
Is that one you bred? Week.
No, this belongs to one of my clients. It's a filly, and she's a pretty nice filly.
Yeah, what's she buy?
Well, I'm just trying to think. I'll tell you in a minute. I'll have to think about that.
Okay. He won't run up to the barn and check.
Yeah, I'd almost have to go check her halter. We'll see what who she's buying. She's by a horse that bred that they over a proud citizen that stands over to Airdrie. Proud citizen.
Oh yeah.
And she's a nice, lovely filly, and I think she's got, you know, I'm very high on her. I was really, of course, disappointed in the race. But I've schooled her. I didn't know if I'd ever go get her okay from Joe down there, because she wasn't bad. Now she walks right in the gate, but she gets a little nervous when she wants to come out of there so badly.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. So when they did break all those horses, of course, she just took a step sort of and leaped out of there. So
yeah,
that didn't go very well. But I've had her back the gate 2 or 3 times since then already. So
by request of the starter?
No, just by me. I don't want coming out there like that again. I mean, I'd take her gate over, you know. You know, the funny thing about it, last spring I had her about ready to run. She shinbucked. I'd had her to the gate. She was great in the gate, great out of the gate, nice and calm. When she came back, I had her to farm for a couple months. When she came back, she's very nervous, wants to weave a little bit. I turn her out of the paddock. She walks. I used to always turn her out for an hour or two every day. She wants to walk the fence, and so I said, I'm going to turn her out. I just go out and hand graze her, which I've been doing. But I think she's starting to settle down again. I couldn't give her one of those long-term tranquilizers because it might show up, so I couldn't do that. So anyway, but she's starting to act a little better. So hopefully she'll get out of there. She was great before. I don't know how that all changed, but
well, it happens.
So we'll try them again about this week sometime.
Well, Proud Citizen, of course, has done very well.
I think we're about to get attacked or something going on here. I don't know what's coming in here.
Michael Blowen. Here comes Michael Blowen in. He's
Michael, how are you?
Carrying his awards from
carrying a box of donuts.
Oh, a box of donuts.
And just what I deserve, too.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I'm sure here, Resty, you can start. Well, look over here. We've got enough donuts. Anybody want a donut, come on by to the HBPA office. We're loaded down with
Michael's
donuts.
Buying.
Hey.
Michael's buying, and Jackie bought some, and so here we go. Okay, let me take a break here and do some commercials, and then we're going to have Michael on because get a report from him of what's been going on the last 3 weeks that he hadn't been here.
Uh-oh. I brought the donuts. Come on.
No, right. Is that a peace offering?
Yes, it is, as a matter of fact.
Well, last Friday at Keeneland, the Grade $1 Million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf was won by Hit It A Bomb, a 2-year-old colt by Warfront, bred and owned by Mrs. Evelyn Stockwell. Hit It A Bomb is undefeated in 3 starts, was making his first start in this country He's one of 12 2015 stakes winners by Warfront. Seven of the 12 have won graded stakes, and four have won grade one stakes. Hit it a bomb as Orly, accumulated earnings of $599,969. And it's runners such as he that made Warfront the most popular sire at the Keeneland September sales. One is yearling sold for a sales topping average of $600,714. Internationally successful in the son of the great sire Danzig, Warfront stands at Claiborne Farm. Joining him there is his grade one winning son, Datalink, winner of more than $831,000. Warfront stud fee is $2,000 due when the foal stands and nurses. Datalink stands for $7,500 under the same conditions, and his first foals are weanlings. Also standing at claimant for the 2016 season are Algorithms, Arch, Blame, First Samurai, Flatter, the just-retired grade one millionaire, Lee, second Saturday in the grade one Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, Orb, Stroll, and Trap Shot. Inquiries to Bernie Sands at 859-233-4252 and see the website claiborne.com. Well, why don't you go out to Barn 11 today and see the Indian Creek consignments? It's going to be worth your time, and you'll find mares and foal to Broken Vow and Flatter and Shackelford. Mare and foal to Broken Vow won $94,000. She was a tough race mare. She's a half-sister to a stakes winner, and also she's a full sister to a stakes-placed winner by Broken Vow. The mare carrying a foal by the popular Flatter was also a runner. She won right at $84,000. She's out of a stakes winner. Then there's a young daughter of Ghostsapper out of a stakes winner, and she's in foal to Shackelford. There are also weanling colts by Violence, Painter, Stay Thirsty, and Gioponte, the latter a half-brother to a stakes winner that placed in graded stakes. Then if you're looking for a well-bred racing or breeding prospect, you'll find three, and all three have demonstrated ability. Hip number 1806 won her first start this year at Belmont. She's just 3 years old. She's by exchange rate. Hip number 1947 has been on the board in four of her seven starts, all maiden specials in New York, and she's by Empire Maker. Then hip number 2037, in her only start was a closing second and a maiden special at Saratoga this year, and she is by First Defense. So all three from families heavy with black type. Indian Creek has been a long-time source of superior bloodstock, and this consignment lives up to that reputation. So go to Barn 11 today and ask about later Indian Creek consignments in the sale. Indian Creek, where raising and selling high-class bloodstock is a tradition. Well, Hopewell Insurance over in Paris was founded by Joe McLean in 1955, and by my old Russell Cave School math, that's some 60 years ago. And anybody that can do something well for 60 years and stay in business through thick and thin and that
thing. Like you.
Oh, shut up. It must have been.
I was probably down at Russell Cave about that time with that school.
Yeah. Well, I think my math is right then. Is that right? If he's been in business for, you hope well, yeah. Insurance has been in business for 60 years? 1955?
Well, no, I guess I was in high school then.
No, go ahead. Gosh, you take a beating around here, but you won't take a beating, no, if you take get your insurance through Hopewell Insurance.
Because well, he's quick, isn't he?
I'll tell you what, that's Joe and Ted and Jody McLean down there. It's a family-operated company, and they've been in business, like I say, for 60 years, so make sure that they're doing right, and they've always done right by us, I can tell you that. I wouldn't go anywhere else. When we, Jack and I, moved down to Bourbon County, you know, we asked around. We wanted to do business locally, and everybody, all our friends down there said, well, you got to go with Hopewell Insurance. And we did, and we're glad we did, because they're great people to do business with. I mean, I've had a couple of little fender benders. I backed into Dr. Proctor out here one day, and of course, he was illegally parked.
It was all his fault.
Yeah, it was.
His car wasn't moving.
He was sitting on, it was sitting on the grass, and a sign, when you come in the gate, says, stay off the grass. Well, there's Doc parked right in the, and I backed out of a legal parking spot and backed into him.
I'm sure it wasn't your fault. That's what I'm saying.
Well, anyway, I just called Ted McLean down at Hopewell, and he said, don't worry, we'll take care of it. So I never heard the end of it, you know. And I guess Doc was satisfied because he didn't say anything more. Maybe he didn't want to say anything because he knew he was illegally parked. But anyway,
How do you do it, Jackie?
I would certainly recommend going with them if the Hopewell Agency down in Paris, Kentucky. Let me give you their number. It's 859-987-2347. Or you can stop by the office right there on Main Street in Paris, 820 Main Street on Paris, just past the Y on the right. You can't miss it. Great people to do business with, and I'll guarantee you they'll give you great service. All righty, Michael.
Yes, sir.
What in the hell you been doing for the last 3 weeks?
We've been busy. It's been great. We had tremendous visitors. Our fundraiser last Sunday was unbelievable. We had about somewhere between 500 and 600 people. We had to hire the local police just to direct the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we netted about $35,000.
Is that right? Mm-hmm. Wow.
Our donors were great. You know, Mandy Pope and Hillendale, and I could go on and on and on. They really donated some great items, and the people came and bought the halters. Everybody had a blast, I think. And then, of course, with the Breeders' Cup, Mike Smith came to see his horses, and Victor Espinosa came over to see his horses.
Who over there did Mike Smith come to see?
He came, Amazombie and Game on Dude in particular.
Oh, okay.
He rode Zippy Chippy in his third start. You know that?
The all-time winning, losing horse? All-time losing horse?
0 for 100.
How'd you like to have a horse that went 100, started 100 times and couldn't win?
I wouldn't have been able to afford him. I wouldn't have been able to afford all those bills.
I don't think Felix bet him that well. That was part of the problem.
Oh, is that right? Well, he played several times.
Well, not only that, Zippy Chippy is hugely popular. I mean, he's like he's an icon now.
Yeah.
He, you know what his motto is?
I'm afraid to ask.
Winners don't always finish first.
Oh, okay.
he had to think of something. But Random House, a guy named William Thomas is an author up in Canada, and Random House has purchased his Zippy Chippy's life story. And the first printing for the book is coming out in the spring. It's 50,000 copies.
You're kidding.
No fooling. You can't make it up. Yeah, big deal.
Well, is Zippy going to autograph him?
Well, we got Little Silver Charm. He's got his book out, and he's autographing him.
Oh, for God's sake.
Did you bring one?
No, I'll bring one next week.
Yeah.
Next week.
I'd rather have that than the donuts.
Huh?
I'd rather have that than the donuts.
Once he put his paw print on?
Yeah, just bam.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Get your picture taken with him and all that. He's real popular. The book's really funny, too. It's a really good book.
Who wrote that? You?
No. It's better than I would have written it. An author from Louisville named Dan Rima wrote it.
And okay.
It's speculative fiction on, you know, since we only know what the last 16 years of his life has been like. We didn't know what the first 16 years was like. So Dan imagined what it would be like, what it would have been like before he came to All Friends.
That would, according to my Russell Cave math again, that would be make him 32 years old.
That's about right.
You think that's about right?
In fact, we had another equine dentist on a tour the other day at the farm, and I asked her to look at his teeth, and that's what she said.
We've had
it confirmed by two equine dentists, yep.
Yeah. Huh. Either both right or they're both wrong, huh?
Well, they're probably pretty close.
Okay.
He doesn't look it or act it, but they say the same about you.
What?
I have an equine dentist looking at his teeth.
He hadn't been on his age, right, Jackie? He hadn't been on the show for 3 weeks, and he's already insulted me three times this morning.
How about that?
Well, he's catching up.
It's only because I miss you.
Yeah, right.
It's only because I miss you. But the Breeders' Cup was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, Keenan did a heck of a job.
They did a great job.
Yeah,
I got to go, and it was. You could bet with 90 seconds to go to post. It didn't seem. You know, people weren't pushing into each other, and I mean, I was flabbergasted how well everything went.
Yeah.
And the racing was great.
It really was, wasn't it? Some of those races were absolutely.
When Mike Smith came to the farm, he says, I came to ride Songbird. He goes, I haven't been on a horse like this since Indiana.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, he said, she's the real deal.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's a big compliment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Either that or he's been riding bad horses.
Well, he says, the only way this horse loses is if I fall off.
That's a California horse, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Spurious. He had undefeated, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he didn't touch her the whole time around. Just sat on her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was good.
Yeah, the horse run happy from here ran well.
Really well. Really well. Yeah, it's too bad all the stuff that's happening afterwards with Jim McInvale and all this business.
Yeah, that's too bad. I had them both on the show a couple of them.
Jim McInvale. You had Laura.
No, I had Laura and
Maria
on the show, you know. Well, you know, if you stay around,
I know, but the timing was perfect, wasn't it? Yeah. Jay Hubdy has a good column in the Sunday Racing Form about it.
Oh, he does?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Another one. I read one the other day.
Yeah, he has a good column about it.
Well, I could say there's always two sides to every story. I'm glad I had him on before the show, before that happened, rather than after it, because I don't want to get caught in the middle.
Well, the interesting thing is, we should ask Don about this. I mean, what's worse than a bad owner if you're a trainer? Like nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
Nothing. I mean, I won't mention any names, but I'll just say this. A Hall of Fame trainer used to train for this really, really rich guy and got him really good horses. And he won major stakes races, including a classic or two. And he said the happiest day of his life is when that guy fired him.
Right.
Yeah, well, like I said, Michael, and listen carefully,
there's
two sides to every story.
That's right. Well, there could be 10 sides, and there could be one side. Two-side thing doesn't really work out that well.
Yeah.
Because there's more than the Republicans.
But getting back to the horse, I think he's a freak of nature, don't you, Don?
Yeah.
But would win a race.
Boy, that's exactly right.
Ever work. I've never seen a horse work so fast and run right off top off of it. I've never seen horses work like that and run like that.
I've never seen one work like he did here.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And I did the clocking here for 10 years.
And it was amazing.
Nothing ever came close to how he could work here, but he was doing it easy.
And they took him to Keeneland, did it right before the week before. They worked him out there the same way.
Yeah.
He went like 58 or something and galloped out. Unbelievable.
I bet you turned out right there.
Galloped out in 10 or something like that.
Yeah. They turned him out daily.
Right.
Which is fine,
It's great. Wonderful.
Yeah. I bet he's turned out there right now. Although he usually...
Went to California. He didn't go to California? Somebody said,
I don't know if they've left or not.
I don't know either. Somebody said he was going to California. I didn't know if he'd already gone or not.
Yeah. Brilliant horse. Boy, it sure makes...
Special horse.
Makes Super Saver look good, doesn't it?
Here's
a Derby winner that's going to get an Eclipse Award sprinter in his first shot, in his first crop.
That's amazing.
And he's had some other good ones, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's a leading third crop star, leading second crop star, or something like that? Leading third crop star, I think.
Let me consult the Bible here and see if we can find out.
Is that my magazine?
Yes, I'm just looking something up.
Well, you've already got my racing form. Now he's got his grubby hands on my blood horse.
That's Sundays. You asked a question about Super Saver, and I'm hoping it's in this issue of Blood Horse. But it's not, because they spent all
the time. He's by Maria's Mon. And anyway, I got to catch up here. All right, well, October 30th, Keeneland, the Grade 2 $200,000 Marathon Stakes was won by Bailout Bobby, a 5-year-old son of Mizzen Mask, and the next day, Green Mask, a 4-year-old by Mizzen Mask, ran third in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, going 5.5 furlongs. So, how about that? From 5.5 furlongs on the grass to 1.75 miles on the dirt, Mizzen Mask is certainly one of the most versatile sires in North America. He's sired 7 Grade 1 winners in all, and of course he came within less than a length out in the Breeders' Cup here of getting his 8th. Not only that, but Flimby, a daughter of Mizzen Mask, and she's earned going on $600,000, right at $600,000, maybe over $600,000. Anyway, she was 2nd earlier this year in the Grade 1 Just a Game Stakes, and she just got to beat a half length, and that by Tepet. And of course, Tepet won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. He has sired the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. He sired a champion 2-year-old. He sired a classic winning filly. And the winners of graded stakes on dirt and grass, sprinting, going long on every conceivable type of racing surface. Mizzen Mask won Grade 1 stakes himself, sprinting on the dirt. He won graded stakes going long on grass. He's by champion sire Cozim. And his pedigree offers an outcross to Stormcat, Mr. Prosper, and Bold Ruler Line Mares. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries are Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. Better we'll call now and get a seat. The website over there is judmont.com. Well, down through the years, many of the best runners ever to step on a racetrack have walked into a Sally van on their way to win a Kentucky Derby or the Breeders' Cup or even, to a Triple Crown. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. Sally vans are always in tip-top condition, and the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver and an experienced horseman, and that, my friends, is a winning combination. The folks over at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than six decades, here I go, 60 years again. Somebody else has been in business for 60 years, Sally Van.
Yeah, I used to go when they were out on Versailles Road. You could walk in there and, you know, go get a bologna or cheese sandwich. And they had that, what?
Bobby Maxwell.
Those three horse, where you had to back them in there, and they're right side to side. Yeah. And I think it used to cost about $50 to go down to Churchill or Miles Park or something like that.
Yeah,
and I used to use them back then, too.
Well, they've hauled many of my horses, I tell you that.
Well, I used Fallon Sally the whole time I was racing everywhere. I mean, if they were going to Arkansas, Louisiana, New York, they always did for 30-some years, they did all my shipping.
Yeah, great outfit. Great outfit. Great family.
And they did wonderful things. You have something to pick up, or they'd pick it up and bring some piece of furniture or something. They'd bring it from Florida for
you. Of course, they've helped. How many times, miles have they helped you with, Michael?
Well, they were just great.
Tens of thousands of miles. They just brought one of them down from Chicago.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, that's the Sally Van Service. You want to do business with great people and a great outfit that's been in business for a long, long time because they do it right. Give them a call, 859-255-9406, and see the website at sallyvans.com. Enjoy the ride. All right, Don and Michael.
I just found this. What? Run Happy. We don't have the details about this, but Run Happy.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to do a Windstar.
Well, this
shut
is,
up
this
a minute.
Into Windstar. Be quiet. Listen to this. Fits right in. Run Happy is one of eight stakes winners for Super Saver who will stand at Windstar for a 2016 minimum fee of $55,000.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And that leads right into your wonderful commercial that everybody's waiting for.
What did he stand up? What did he stand for last year before this? Before you had this one? What was he standing for before? Did it say?
It didn't. It doesn't say.
I can't remember.
One of those horses that was 60,000 went to 120, or went from 130 went to 60. I forgot which one did that. They doubled that. I don't know which one that was.
Well, I'm going to talk about another horse over here right now.
Okay.
I do two commercials for Windstar. The second one is on Super Saver, but this one's on Distorted Humor, if you'll let me talk about
it. Oh, we have just great Distorted Humor at the farm.
What you got?
Commentator.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one of the great.
Yeah, sure. Won the Whitney twice, almost won it three times.
Yeah. I'll have to run right out.
I love those Distorted Humors, and they're all running like crazy all over the country.
Yeah. Well, great. Well, this one, he's side, the winners of Belmont. Let's see. Distorted Humor side stakes winners at Belmont and at Del Mar last Saturday. Okay. Mature, a 5-year-old son of Distorted Humor, sprinted 7 furlongs and 20-1 to win the grade 3 $200,000 bowl ruler handicap at Belmont. And at Del Mar, Crittenden, a 3-year-old by Distorted Humor, run a mile on the grass and won 34-2 to win the Let It Ride Stakes. Now, Mature began his career in Great Britain and was a promising winner there. He has won 4 of his 6 starts in this country all this year, bred by Windstar Farm. He's a $550,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales. Crittenden, bred and owned by Dolly, has won 2 stakes this year. He also ran 2nd in the Grade 3 American Derby. Distorted Humor, twice the nation's leading sire, is one of 6 stallions standing at Windstar, ranked among the top 25 on the North American sire list. He is the sire of 8 2015 stakes winners, 5 graded stakes winners. Sire of the winners of all 3 Triple Crown races, Distorted Humor's Keeneland September Series yearlings sold for an average of over $315,000. For more on the Windstar stallions, call my friends Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel or Carolyn Walsh. Call Carolyn. She's cuter than they are. 859-873-1717 and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All right. Michael and Don, I'm going to ask you all a question. I've been, you know, Maury West, Dr. West?
Sure.
Yeah. You know, he got hurt down there.
He did? Where?
Taking pictures. Fell over a cable.
No.
Yeah.
Because I saw him down there the day before, the Friday, Breeders' Cup Friday.
That was the day it happened. He was out taking a picture and fell, and he has a, what do you call it, Jackie? A
detached retina.
A detached retina.
But he had it fixed.
From the fall? Yeah. From the fall?
But he hit the camera, you know, and hit his eye.
Oh, gotcha.
But so he had to go to the doctor, you know, down there and treat him and everything. But, you know, he went back to the Breeders' Cup the next day.
What a guy. That's
and
great.
Then last Wednesday, he had it operated on. And he writes for the weekly paper down at in Bourbon County.
You know, yes.
Writes columns in there.
Yeah, he does a good job.
Yeah. Anyway, he called the horse a great horse. Would you consider him a great horse?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay. How about you, Don?
Well, I don't know if he's the best, but he's awfully good, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I always go back. My favorite horse always was and always will be probably was Man of War. And they used to always compare Secretariat. I raced against Secretariat, and he was an awful nice horse. But what this horse has done is remarkable also, to hold up and do that well and run that fast. And
I guess he's earned it.
Yeah, I guess he's in the top 10 category, I'm sure.
Yeah. I asked Murray about that, and because he'd label him as a great racehorse. And I said, what do you think would have happened? And what do you guys think would have happened if Beholder's been in the race? Beholder.
I just think he's a phenomenal horse, and I don't think he even peaked. I don't even think that horse has peaked yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's too, you know, it's I, too I wish. I, yeah, exactly. I wish he was racing another. Can you imagine what would happen to racing if he raced another year?
What if he?
Holy mackerel!
Yeah.
I mean, the whole sport would. You know, it would. It's just what you need is for him to race one more year, and I don't know. He went out on top, so.
Yeah,
I guess that's a good thing.
It's hard
too,
to criticize him.
I'm not criticizing anybody. I'm just imagining what it would be like if he was going into Santa Anita for a race, if he was going to go in the
big
cat.
But you know, there's not much more you could ask of the horse.
No, there's nothing for the horse. I'm talking about the sport.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm. What if he could stay around to his five? Because they don't reach their maturity to their five. They don't get their full maturity to five. A lot of people don't realize that, but they're just still babies at three. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, well,
they would be criticized forever for running.
Yeah, of course
they should have retired him after the Breeders' Cup Classic.
They started putting that weight like they used to. All that weight put him up to 135, 140 pounds. I mean,
they don't do that anymore.
They stopped all that. It's 28, but they don't get much higher than that, do they?
They want it to come. All I'm saying is that it's like retiring a star at the peak of his career.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Man, oh, man.
And you're right.
You get 100,000 people at the racetrack coming into Belmont, coming into Saratoga, going to Santa Anita. Oh, major news coverage all over the world.
And look how much money he earned.
It would transcend the sport.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's getting a $200,000 stud fee, and I guess he's safe over there. Cool.
Curlin's still a world leading money winner. Yeah.
I don't know if he passed it or not.
He didn't pass it. I don't think he moved up to third, maybe. Curlin is second or third. I mean, Curlin's first. I do know that.
I thought maybe since he won that May five million the other day, it might have pushed him way up there. I don't know.
Whatever, but I think the way you get that title is you almost have to win the Dubai World Cup to get the big money.
Yeah.
Because
Curlin did that, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I asked Murray that very question, what did he think would happen if Beholder had been in the race? And he says, I think the horse would have run in 159 and change.
Yeah, I think that's probably
I'd right, like too. To see Beholder in there, and I'd always say he'd like to see that horse we were talking about running the mile. I'd like to have seen that horse in there.
Liam's Map.
I'd like to have seen him in there also.
Yeah.
I think they were considering both races and decided at the last minute to run in the other one.
Yeah.
But they too.
I know they did. That's true.
Yeah.
And at the eighth pole, I thought they'd made the wrong decision. Didn't you?
I did. That horse ran a phenomenal race.
Did.
How many times? I think he stopped four times.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 I watched the replay over and over. I still don't believe he did it. And I'd taken – and the reason I was focused on that is I liked Bill Motzer's that lead. And I thought, well, if Liam's Map gets hung up in a speed duel, if something happens, and he's – what was he, 4-5?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was pretty short price. And I said, you know, it could be. And I took – so I took Bill Motzer's first and second with the one horse in the trifecta. Mm-hmm. And he came back and won. I still hit the trifecta. It was a lot smaller than it could have been if he stayed trapped down there and gave up. But what a great personality that horse has. I mean, it's almost like pushing him around made him stronger, made him a little bit more angry about what was going on. And he just got tougher and tougher as they came down the stretch.
Yeah.
Amazing horse. I mean, the racing for this Breeders' Cup, I can't remember a Breeders' Cup, and I've been to a lot of them, and I've seen every one of them.
The number of great races.
Yes.
You know, you can remember single races, Tisnals, you know, you remember his.
And DeHaas, and we had just got Alphabet Soup at the farm. I remember his classic against Cigar and Louis Couture's were like a foot and a half separated the top three finishers.
Yeah.
I mean, you can think of individual races, but as a whole, from Friday all the way through American Pharoah's astounding win on Saturday, I think pound for pound, race for race, this is unmatchable.
Yeah, it was fun watching them. I mean, one race after every race was good.
Yes,
yeah,
it was either good because it was a great horse in it who was making a statement, or all the photos and. And the Mongolian people. How can you not love the Mongolian people?
You know, they're out here.
Yeah.
I know.
Are they here? Are they out here?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Here is the Thoroughbred Center, in case you did.
But they don't wear those clothes out here, do they? They dress like that.
I didn't know they were here until somebody told me.
Oh,
Susie the clocker over there told me about it. You know, so they're here. Why don't you get them on? She says, but be careful, Ursula, you can't understand a word they're saying.
The head of the Mongolian racing, of the Mongolian Jockey Club, came to the farm.
Well, could you understand him?
Mm-hmm. He spoke very good English. And
Susie, you're wrong.
Well, this veterinarian, I'm not sure that everybody speaks fluent English, but he did. And it was really interesting because he wanted to talk about putting old friends in Mongolia.
Oh my God. They
could have retired horses there in Mongolia.
Oh, my God.
I told him Ursula was going to volunteer to run it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's trying to ship me out.
I just volunteered.
You'd never get me on a plane. You'd have to send me by slow boat.
Slow boat to Mongolia. I wonder how long that would take. But that was great. It was colorful, and they were excited. And that was the other thing. It was so much excitement, so much fun. Even people I know that lost money betting were happy about the break.
Well, how did you do overall?
I did okay.
Did you? Oh, just okay.
Oh, that means he didn't lose too much.
That means he didn't lose much.
I made about No, I did good. I mean, I couldn't believe with FNX second to the American Pharoah for trifecta came back over $80.
Yeah.
That was huge because that's what got me my money.
Yeah. Oh, there. Okay.
I just barely got out. But anyway, I made about $400, I think.
Oh, my God. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
As I say, it was so easy to
win. Knowing you didn't have to pay your way to get in.
No, I didn't.
You probably had somebody buying him beer.
Hey, that was the cool part. This wonderful lady that runs Sport Tech.
Yeah.
You know, they put in a betting machine in our office.
You're kidding.
No, but it's not pari-mutuel. But you can get a ticket. In fact, I have one here. I haven't had one. You get a ticket of one of our horses. See?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you probably didn't cash that ticket you got on American Pharoah. You probably didn't cash. Probably saved that as a souvenir.
Yeah.
You didn't. You
not
didn't
only that, I bought $22 tickets and didn't cash them.
Yeah, and they said a lot of people did.
He's going to put them on
20-some thousand.
eBay, here they come. I'll tell you that. All right, well, let me do a commercial here. Close fall off for 3-0 filly by DeHare just missed in the $100,000 Ford Springs at Keeneland last Saturday. Closed between horses to finish a neck back in another game performance. A 3-year-old daughter of DeHare. She won a $77,000 allowance test in a previous start. That was on October the 15th, and she's finished first or second in six of her seven starts for earnings of over $174,000. The only time she was off the board was in the Grade 2 Priory Stakes when, according to the official chart of the race, she was bumped at the start, checked, and the rider lost his whip. Now, that's three good excuses for losing and dropping his decision. Bred by Dean Hayes and Chadwell Farm, Close Fall Off was sold at the OBS March sale for $150,000. DeHare is also the side this year of Mamduha, who registered her fourth stakes win by taking the correction at Aqueduct. She's earned over $325,000. Also placed in the Grade 2 Distaff and Grade 3 Vacancy this year. He's got Our Caravan, who stakes place to Delaware this year. Last year, he won the $155,000 call to Derby. And of a stakes place 3-0 over in France, DeHare a grade one son of Awesome Again, has sired 14% stakes horses from foals. Stand at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Ken Barnes and take a look at the website, shadwellfarm.com. Quillen Leather Intact, the nation's largest custom halter shop, quality service and leather goods since 1982. And last year, they shipped out over $20,000 halters, 20,000 halters, I should say, not dollars. God only knows how many dollars that is now.
A lot.
That's a lot.
$75 a piece or something.
Yeah. Ralph ought to be good for a touch.
Ones, yeah.
That's classic.
He is.
He is. Michael's my.
Yeah, I can vouch for that.
You can vouch.
He send you some halters, does he?
Yeah, he takes care of us pretty good.
Well, those halters, he ships those things all over the world. It's a great tack shop. It's right there in Parrish. If you're going into Parrish from the Lexington, just keep going straight. Don't turn left on the bypass. Go to the third stoplight and look to your left, and there you'll find Quillen Tack Shop. It's a great shop to go into. They repair all our halters. I'm too cheap to buy a new one, so when something gets broke, I take it in there and they fix it. So, but at the rate that they're breaking them, I got two old geldings out there that are turned out together, and they undress each other every week.
Pull them off, huh?
Yeah, pull them off and break them, and I don't know what the hell they're doing out there, but they're costing me anyway. But Ralph gets them fixed, and they do a good job with it. But also, I do my Christmas shopping over there. You can go in there and buy, not only leather goods of all kind, but they have kid books and all kinds of things over there that you can buy. You can get those belts with your name on it. Don't put your phone number on there, though. And it's in case, you're visiting somewhere and you lose
Never
your pants.
Gee whiz. Aye, aye, aye. Don't put your Social Security number on it.
Yeah, right.
Don't put your prison number on it.
But anyway, it's a great tack shop and fun to go into. And, of course, just as much fun as the Rooster Brewery, which is Ralph's new.
Yeah. You can put the address of the Rooster Brewery on it.
Yeah, well, you just keep going on back. If you go by Quill and Tack, just keep going straight and keep looking on your left, and you find Rooster Brewery going there, and they've got over 100 different kinds of beers in there. Boy, if you can't find something in there that you don't like, well, then you don't like beer. That's all I can say. All right, well, in another impressive week of racing for Stallion Standing at Ashford, Sir Nyquist by Uncle Mo won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Stop Charging Maria by Taylor the Cat won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Distaff. Favorite Tale, also by Taylor the Cat, ran third in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint. Opening day at Churchill, Mo Tom and Uncle Brenny, both two-year-olds by Uncle Mo, ran 1-3 in the Street Sense Stakes. And the Laurel Turf Cup went to St. Albans Boy by Giants Causeway. Nyquist is a virtual lock for an Eclipse Awards champion two-year-old colt. He's undefeated. He's won 5 graded stakes, 3 grade 1. He's already earned $1,613,000. Uncle Mo is not only the number one freshman sire, he's edged past Scat Daddy, his stablemate at Ashford Stud, to rank first on the juvenile sire list. Stop Charging Maria's accumulated earnings of over $6,632,000. She's the second Breeders' Cup champion by Taylor the Cat, a leading sire in his own right. St. Albans Boy is one of 15 2015 stakes winners by Giants Causeway. 10 of them graded stakes winners, 2 grade 1. He has sired 31 grade 1 winners. He's the only sire since Danzig to top the sire list 3 times, and he has twice ranked first on the juvenile sire list. To breed a champion, look to a stallion at Ashford Stud, where standing champion sires is a tradition. Just call the farm at 859-873-7088 and see the website at coolmore.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
All righty. Well, of course, American Pharoah is going to Ashford Stud, too.
They're loaded.
They're loaded, aren't they? Yeah. They've done a very good job with their studs down there, I would say, don't you?
Yeah. Giants Causeway, he keeps on doing well.
Yeah, as I just said on that commercial, he's led the sire list 3 times, only first horse since Danzig to do that. He's also topped the juvenile sire list twice. I think he ranks 4th right now on the sire list. 4th, I believe that's right, because Pioneer the Nile moved up to 3rd. And so I think he's fourth.
Oh, that was a horse that doubled his stud fee next year. He doubled it, Pioneer of the Nile.
Yeah.
He doubled it next year.
Well, that's what happens when Shire Triple Crown winner, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, one of the things we got to auction off was a halter from Little Princess Emma.
Oh, okay.
And the full halter for Irish Pharaoh, so full brother to American Pharaoh.
Ah, okay. There's a picture of Maria right
never
there.
Never seen a trainer dressed like the dress pretty well for a trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on.
I tell you, in a winner's circle, now, this was told to me by Murray West, who was taking picture. He was in the winner's circle taking picture. When the horse went into the winner's circle, you've seen a lot of trainers who go, whoops, would put their hand up on the horse's hip. And of course, he said she was wearing heels this high, you know, dress over. She looked great.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, she put her hand up on there, and she said that horse was kicking with his the offside.
Offside,
you know? Well,
offside.
I guess, and she said, "Oh my God!" She says, "I hope he doesn't cow kick her," you know. he didn't. So I guess he likes her.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, I see it shows her in the stall laying down with him. So I guess he likes her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess that's true.
Nice horse.
Nice
well,
horse.
I imagine. Yeah.
Nice horse.
You know how they got that name?
Laura told a story over, you know, about she was writing some kind of a ticket or something that and what was she supposed to be writing on it?
Unhappy customer.
Unhappy.
She had a typo in there called, and it came out Run Happy Customer.
Yeah.
And so they decided to call it Run Happy, and Laura, I guess, nicknamed him Typo.
Oh,
is that what they call him, Typo?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of cute, yeah. I hope they do well with him, you know. I mean, he's such a brilliant.
He's a nice horse. He's a really, really nice
brilliant.
Horse.
He's a brilliant horse, and anyway.
Well, I'm going to go back to the farm. We got tours every day now at 11 o'clock. We're going to the winter schedule.
So. Imagine it's lit up. When's your next shindig?
This spring.
Oh, spring.
We get eBay. We put stuff up on eBay to get us through the
I guess he's going to come back in here every Saturday night.
Doesn't have anything
I know.
December,
he got along really well without me.
Yeah.
This is good. Maybe when it gets cold in the winter and Don's too busy to come.
Well, Jackie's over here. She's just getting over a bad cold. Don's filling in on here.
He's doing a great job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dust Commander.
Huh?
Leave him in the dust, Commander.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's been a long time ago. When people come by and say, I say, you know, I was just a young guy then. I was just a young boy when I won the Derby. That's 45 years ago.
Wow.
That's a long time.
You know,
ago.
I wrote a movie script. I didn't sell it. I just wrote it. But it was about a trainer who won the Derby a long time ago and the revival of his career late in life.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow.
So,
probably true.
Could have been the Don Combs story.
There you
probably
go.
If it was, I would have sold it.
There you go. All right. Well, I'm glad you got back. I'm glad everything went well with you out at Old Friends. And I'm sorry we couldn't be there, but that was Betsy's day to be taken back
sure.
to Cannesville.
It was wild. I mean, there were hardly any parking places, but everybody was nice. All the halters that we auctioned off went for more than $1,000. It was really, really nice.
That is great. What was the highest one?
Oh, the most
it might have been Curlin.
I remember when he remembered.
It might have been Curlin. You know, I wasn't paying that much attention. You know, with the auction, there were so many people around that, you know, when they were doing the auction, I was kind of like floating around talking to people. But I can't imagine me talking to anybody, but there you go. Anyway, I wasn't paying that much attention to the auction, but I think the Curlin one went for $1,700.
Is that the Curlin?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's reasonable price for
the
all-time lead money.
It was donated to us by Hillendale because it was the last halter he wore when he was over at Lane's End.
Uh-huh.
So when he transferred over, they gave us the halter. They've been really good to us.
Yeah,
and we have one of their good mares retired at the farm, Halo America.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm you know it's good to see him making it stud too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we just got Alphabet Soup. That was really cool.
Yeah, that was neat.
Yeah.
Getting
what a nice horse.
You know, he was a pretty good sire.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He was a very good sire. A very good racehorse. McCarron came over to see him. McCarron was all excited.
Who did?
Chris.
Oh, well, Karen did. Mm-hmm. He came to see him.
He came to our party.
Oh, I'm sure he didn't miss the party.
No.
Did Warren will come?
He should be there. He's at Rude and Riddle now. We're shooting to have him home sometime.
We're talking about War Emblem now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I go every day and feed him his carrots.
Where is he now?
He's at Rude and Riddle.
Rude and Riddle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
He's handsome.
They say he's mouthy.
I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
He'll be fine.
They have a tendency to settle down when they get there, don't they?
Yeah, they do. I mean, Peggy Whittingham was really surprised to see how Ruhlman had calmed down when we got him, because he breathed fire all the time.
Yeah.
And
see, that's the reason I don't want to retire.
You know, that's funny. Y'all were talking about halters. You know, I still have the halter that Dust Commander wore back in 1970. I still have it in a sort of special little place. And also, I have all his shoes. And also, I had my brother-in-law went over and he did he took some prints and fired them, glazed them. You know, I have all those of him too.
Oh, nice.
So I had all that stuff from back then. I have his blanket.
Well, if you ever need a tax donation.
Well, he's got a will to somebody, don't you, Don? He'll keep you in mind.
Well, one of the other items we got that was really nice, Mark Otto, who's on our board of directors, he went and talked to the powers that be, and he got a replica derby towel, saddlecloth for American Pharoah.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Completely. It was a reproduction, but I think that went for... And Bob signed it, and I think that went for like over $2,000.
Oh, boy.
Gee.
You did good.
Yeah. So you sold other things at the auction. You did other things besides halters.
Yes. Yeah, had lots of good
stuff.
Have
you ever been one over there?
No, I have to go. I've been wanting to go.
Yeah.
They sell all kinds of things.
I had more time when I had a lot of horses. I don't have many now. I'm busy all the time.
Well, you know what they say about going over that way. You know, it takes you all night to do what you used to do all night.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop.
All right. Well,
Jackie heard that, I think.
Yeah, I think she did, too.
All right. There's an open house for inspection of the Spencer Farm stallions today, Michael, if you want to run over there from 1 until 3.
Somebody said to me, it's a Breeders' Cup. They go, what are you doing, looking for future candidates?
Absolutely.
And those Spencer stallions are really, really nice, and they've got a good program over there, too.
Oh, they certainly do. Anyway, that open house is going to extend to Friday, November the 13th. So new stallions available for your inspection are Danza, Metal Count, Norman Invasion, Victor's Cry, and Wicked Strong. Danza won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, besting Breeders' Cup Classic winner Bayern, placed in the Kentucky Derby, and he's by the popular Young Sire Street Boss. Medal Counts by Dinah Farmer. He won graded stakes at Keeneland, placed in the Grade 1 Bluegrass and the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Norman Invasion, a son of Tappet, been first or second in 7 of his 12 starts, including the Grade 1 Wood and 2 Grade 2 stakes. He's to stand at Keene Stud in New York, but he's there now if you want to see him before he ships out. Victor's Cry by Street Cry won the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile, 132-4. He also won the Grade 2 Citation, and he is the sire's most accomplished son at Stud. Wicked Strong by Hard Spun won the Grade 1 Wood, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy, and was second by Knowles in the Grade 1 Traverse. So while you visit, be sure to inquire about Spencer's popular Breed Secure and Share the Upside programs. Programs that have earned Spencer the reputation of being the breeder's farm. Talk to Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpencerFarm.com. Lubricin and Reborn, products that you can buy over at Old Friends.
Yep, that's how Ken Ramsey keeps getting back and forth from the winner's circle.
Yeah, on his Lubricin.
On his Lubricin.
That's how I keep doing this radio show.
I take that stuff. It's fabulous.
I do, too. Yeah, I do, too. Yeah, so have you ever taken, Mike?
I haven't taken it, but I used to give it to my horses.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now there's...
We're
batting the trial. Well, Jackie, everybody here takes it except Ressie over here. Ressie's too dang young, you know?
It doesn't need it yet.
It'll catch up with you one of these days, Ressie. Yeah, well, I'll save a bottle for you.
We'll put his name on it and put it over there. He can carry it around with him until it's time.
Yeah, well, it's great stuff, sure enough. I'll tell you who else uses it. Whenever you see something run that's saddled by Ted Todd Pletcher, you know, like stop charging Maria and those kind of horses, you know. Tony Detrow, Jerry Hollendoffer, Mike Maker, just to mention a few of them, you can bet that they're running on Lubricin. They also make Reborn. I'll tell you a little bit about Reborn over there. Both of them were developed by Dr. Steve Alday, one of the nation's top veterinarians. And both are endorsed by, you know, owners, trainers, and vets. And both, incidentally, all natural. They're test-free. Don't have to worry about spit box. And what Lubricin does, to put it simply, it sustains the integrity of joint fluid. And you don't have to worry about acid injections or things like that. And Lubricin, like I say, they make it for humans, and that's why we're making it. It tastes good, too. Reborn is 100% sterile, whole concentrated natural bovine colostrum. Safe, easy to use. It's test-free also. You use it as a dietary supplement for horses of all ages, starting with foals. So remember that come the breeding season, or if you're breeding on Southern Hemisphere time. What it does is strengthens the foal's immune system while he's nursing. That's a good way to get them started because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. And actually, it supports the immune function of horses of all ages, including race horses. You know that they're in competition, like Wise Dan, and Charlie LaPresti used it on him. And two great products. That's LUBRISYN.com, or Reborn, REBORNE.com. And in addition to Old Friends, you can get it at KBC down in Lexington, or at Horse Sense over in Versailles. Well, Run Happy, brilliant winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprints out of a daughter of Broken Vow. Many of Broken Vow's 61 stakes winners have been fillies. Grade 1 winner Rosalind has won Graded Stakes again this year. Then there's Grade 1 winner in Bridal Bell, and Grade 1 winner Sassy Image, and Grade 1 winner Cotton Blossom. Distaffers by Broken Sword. Broken Dreams, Proud Heiress, Cindy with an S, Reinhard Dahl Bacteria, all Graded Stakes winners, all fillies. We won't get into the Graded Stakes winning colts by Broken Vow. This is just a 1 minute commercial, but let it suffice to say that the list is long and still growing. Broken Vow has been a success by any measure. Follows that, he'll be a leading broodmare sire. So when the opportunity arises to buy a Broken Vow, take advantage of it. And if you contact Pin Oak Stud, maybe you'll be able to get a mare to him for 2016. Also standing over at Pin Oak are the Stallions and Alternation and Cowboy Cal. Alternation's first foals of weanings. He's passing on his superb confirmation. Son of the leading sire that started Humor, Alternation won multiple graded stakes and earned over $1 million. And incidentally, comes from the same female family as Broken Vow. Cowboy Cal also won multiple graded stakes and over $1 million. He's about 3 times champion sire Giants Causeway, and currently ranks third on the sire list among all third crop sires. So call Clifford, Barry, and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420 and see the website pinoakstud.com.
Now, back to Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis.
All righty. Well, we're starting the second hour of this right now.
Theme music.
You want this one too?
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. You're so generous and kind.
They're like magazines anymore, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They're so thick and everything.
The
like a magazine.
Yeah, and that's one of the best writers you got opened up to right there.
He came to the farm. Just going to do a story on the horse set, Old Friends.
Oh, is he really? Yes. Jay Hubday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a...
Oh, yeah.
Where's he from?
California.
Yeah.
He's married to Julie Crone.
Oh, is that right? Oh,
and he's like 6 foot two.
I remember that.
Maybe 6'3". Yeah.
And she's probably 5'8" or 5'10" or something.
Oh, I bet you.
I think 4'10".
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, she's like 4'11".
You just added a couple of hands there.
A foot.
There you go. He's a great guy and a terrific writer. There's a marvelous painter out in California. She was here. She was her for a while. She was born in Germany. She's married to the jockey Joe Steiner. Her name's Dagmar Steiner, she's an amazing artist. And she's doing a book where she's painted all the Old Friends horses, and that book will probably be ready to go within a year.
Wow.
And Jay Hubdy's doing all the writing for it. So
wow,
is he coming in? You say. Boy, I'd love to have him on the show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he came to the farm during the Breeders' Cup. That was nice to show him around, because it's always nice to show people around like Don, who know what they're looking at. You know, yes. And he certainly did. Now, he know all these stories. I tried to get him to come and do a tour or two. But
oh,
yeah.
I'll come out there anytime if
right.
you want to talk with him.
Yeah,
meet with him.
Yeah, that'll be great.
I'll do that anytime you
need. We'll go on the golf cart.
Oh, good. You know, I was thinking, I have all the Kentucky Derby Triple Crown winners. You know, Stone did them all, and they had a series of them. And, of course, I wonder now if he'll do this. He'll do it, this one by itself.
Yeah, so, he is. He
I
is going
to
do
him.
It.
I have to call him.
He's a great guy.
Oh, his daughter used to do all the pony work for Charlie Whittingham. And,
really?
And I was in California, and every time he'd come out with a paint or something, I'd get it from him. They'd get it for me. And I have that 8,000 win Shoemaker, all those. And those are really pretty.
Those are very, they're beautiful.
And I bought two of those at the time. So I need to call him, make sure I call her, make sure I get one of those when they get them. I want one. So
I think they're already out.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
already?
I think so. I think he's got them out.
Nice, quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, since he was out there, he had plenty of time to take pictures and study them. And
I'm not sure that it includes, maybe it also includes the Breeders' Cup, but I know he did one after the Triple Crown.
Mm-hmm. Don, how many of these Triple Crown winners have you actually seen?
Oh, boy, let me think. I guess I've seen them all Citation. Of course, Whirl Away. I remember Whirl Away, but I didn't. Of course, I didn't see him.
Yeah,
I listened
never saw
to on
him.
The radio of the other one.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of them.
Yeah.
Of course, Secretariat and Spectacular Bid. He was Spectacular Bid was a very nice horse, very very good horse.
And well, he didn't win Triple Crown.
No, almost.
I don't mean he should have though. I think he should. That's when Franklin rode. Mm-hmm. He should have won it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was what in '69 was it?
Yeah. Well, 60? He understood down at Claiborne.
Yeah. He was a good horse though.
So. Oh, absolutely.
And it's a shame he didn't win the Triple Crown because he was probably. You remember he had a couple. One walkover in Belmont Park where he didn't have anybody to go up against him. But supposedly that he had a nail or something got in his foot or something.
Yeah,
and Franklin went and chased a 50-1 shot and he just sort of got him beat, you know. But he was a nice horse. But Affirm and, all those Affirm and Seattle Slew.
Yeah. First one I saw War Animal. Because I didn't see him raced, but I saw him at stud because he was, of course, over here on Hoof and Mill Road with Man of War. You just go over and see Man of War all the time.
Well, I saw
you
him
walk
one
in that
time
stud barn. Now, he wasn't in the originals.
Oh, I'm glad you got that top on there.
Second time he's knocked over his Dr. Pepper.
the original stud barn where he retired, well, of course, he went. The stud, well, what now is Spencer Farm used to be Plum Lane, but prior to that, I forget what you call it, you know. Ms. Dangerfield had that. And anyway, that's where he was. Man of War was originally retired, but
over
then they moved him down to over on Huffman Mill Road down, and he stayed down in that barn way down the road down, but right before you get to the creek.
Right, right. Yeah, that's
he was back in there. Yeah. But when I saw him, they had moved him up. To the first, we go, you know where Domino's Grave area
right,
is?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Okay. You drive past it, and it's the first barn on the right. Yeah. And if you walked in that stud barn there.
He was right on the right? Was he right in there on the right?
War Admiral was the first stall on the right. Man of War was right across there on the left, you know. And then War Relic was in there, too. But anyway, so I saw War Admiral. You know, he looked nothing like Man of War. No, he was small to begin with. He looked like the sweep. You know, sweet bread small. And I guess he was about 15-1, but heavily muscled. Sprinter. He looked like a sprinter.
Everything is
real dog bay. Dog bay horse, you know. And, of course, I saw him. I let's see who came in. Then Whirl Away I didn't see. By the time I was running around, you know, able to drive and everything like that, Marcel Boussac had already bought him and taken him to France.
Well, you know, they used to have all those postcards with him on. You used to go in a store, they had those postcards, had the big long tail, and you see all those postcards.
Yeah.
Of a nice little kid.
So I miss seeing him. Yeah, and then saw Count Fleet, took a mare down to breed to Count Fleet, mare named her. Early Blossom, she was Babimelech. Belonged to Dixiana, and he was standing down at Stoner Creek Stud down there, which is trotting horses now on that place, you know. But so I got to see Count Fleet. You know, and
well, Charlie Kenny. That's when Charlie Kenny went after he left.
Yeah, right.
After
Charlie
he
Kenny.
Left Coldstream. He was what he had that place over on Shadyside, which is now Show Horse Place on the corner of Newtown and Ironworks.
Yeah,
he leased that from Randolph, and he had horse. Had Noor stood there, and John Stoy stood there.
Yeah,
Noor stood there.
Noor was buried at our farm.
Noor was standing right there when he came back with the street. They had a little stud barn up on the hills no longer. It was right behind that barn up on the hill. And I worked there when I was in junior high school, so I was around those horses when I was in junior high school.
Wow. Yeah. Noor is the first horse on the racetrack that John Sheriffs ever took care of when he was like 18 years old.
Is that really? Right? Is that right?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. What a great racehorse he was.
Yeah. Well, he beat Citation, what, three times?
Three or four times. I think three times.
Well, whatever. You would probably know.
He was a nice horse.
Yeah, there's a wonderful book.
Of course, Citation was just a shadow before.
Well, I know. We've had this discussion before. Yeah. Anyway, we have this marvelous book about Noor that Milt Tobey wrote.
Yeah, right.
It's a really, really good book, and it's available in the fabulous Old Friends Gift Shop, along with the new Little Silver Charm book and Luverson.
Have that out there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
Just in case you're traveling around today and need a special thing to get your Christmas shopping started early.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Hey, I got to catch up on
good to see you.
There's an open house today and tomorrow from 10 to 2 at Edina Springs. There you will find Awesome Again, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, Sire, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and the world's leading Sire Grade 1 winners on dirt. Awesome Again's Hall of Fame son, Go Sapper, winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic, and like his sire, nationally ranked on the North American Sire list, Macho Uno, Eclipse Award winner. Sire of a Breeders' Cup Classic winner. That would be Mucho Macho Man and Mucho Macho Man himself, who came within a photo finish of twice winning the Breeders' Cup Classic. Also, point of entry, winner of 5 Grade 1 Stirks of more than $2,494,000 and one of the best bred young stallions in the world. Today at Keeneland and Barn 2, Edina Springs is offering info mares with a no-return season to an Edina Springs stallion. Now, keep in mind that these mares carry the bloodlines that have earned 8 Eclipse Awards as leading breeder for Edina Springs. And that, Edina Springs has bred 6 Breeders' Cup champions. For more information and for directions to the farm, call 859-987-1798 and see the website at edinastallions.com.
Hear this. Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, October 31 in Keeneland, the $100,000 Perryville Stakes was won by Hebronville, a 3-year-old colt from the first club by Majestic Perfection. Under top weight of 122 pounds, Hebronville held a forward position from the offset, got through along the rail approaching the 16th pole to take command as 6 furlongs and 9 and 3. He also has also won the Grade 3 Jersey Shore Stakes this year at Monmouth and placed in 3 other stakes, including the Grade 2 Futurity at Belmont. Bred by Padua Stables, he is a $135,000 graduate of the Keeneland September sales. Then he was resold at the OBS March sale for $250,000, and he has since accumulated earnings of over $352,000. So you see what I mean when we say that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit? Majestic Perfection is also the sire of Grade 1 winner Kentucky Oaks winner Lovely Maria, winner also of the Grade 1 Ashland at Keeneland, and of over $1 million, 4 stakes winners and 8 stakes horses in his first crop. Described by Steve Asmussen as the fastest horse I've ever seen, Grade 1 winner Majestic Perfection by Harlan's Holiday stands for 20,000 live folder. Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones, the Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com, and let me remind you again, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursula Ellis.
All right, well, we're back here, and Michael's gone, so I'm talking to Don Combs over here, and we were talking about past Triple Crown winners, Triple Crown winners that we had seen, and I said I didn't get to see Whirlaway because he had been exported to France, and we're going to get Steve Moody on in a minute, Don. Can you hear all right?
Yes, I hear fine.
Okay, and so I didn't get to see Whirlaway in the flesh and see who came next. I saw Count Fleet. Did you ever see Count Fleet?
No, I never saw him.
Well,
was that 53? Cal Fleet, what was he, in the 50s? What year?
40s.
In the 40s.
Yeah.
That's 40, right.
43.
41, 43?
Yeah, 43.
He was after World War, that's right.
Yeah, and then Assault. I never got to see Assault.
And that, what, 46?
46. I missed that Derby. But I saw my first Derby the next year, 47. I saw Jet Pilot went. Of course, ended up down at King Ranch because he was sterile, you know.
Right. Is he, did that lady have him, that lady, Mrs., that owned Crown Crest Farm before, did she breed that horse? What was her name?
No, he was a King Ranch breed.
That's right. He was King Ranch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
You were talking about Ms. The Main Chance Lady?
Yeah, Main Chance Lady.
Yeah.
Right.
Elizabeth Art.
Elizabeth Art, yeah.
Yeah.
Did she win a Derby or not?
She won it the next year with Jet Pilot.
Oh, that's one thing about Jet Pilot.
Yeah. Now, she had three in that Derby. She had Knockdown, Lord Boswell, and Perfect Barum. And they ran... let me think now. Lord Boswell was fourth, Knockdown was fifth, and Perfect Barum ran ninth. How about that?
How about that?
That's one of the few derbies I do that with. But anyway, I know that very well because Spy Song ran second.
Right.
And he was a Dixiana horse. He was, to be honest with you, he was lucky to be second.
Lucky to be second.
So he set all the pace.
And held on for second.
Well, and the only reason it did is because the rider on Hampton, who came down from Maryland, stood up, pulled a shoemaker. He was pre-shoemaker.
Yeah,
he stood up at the 16th pole, misjudged.
Like Shoemaker did on Gallant Man?
No, it was on Round Table, wasn't it?
No, it was Gallant Man.
Yeah, it was Gallant Man. Yeah, right.
Did Round Table run in the Derby? Did he run in the Derby?
Yeah.
He was so much better on the grass. I don't know.
Well, he was. He ran on everything. I think he was in the Derby, but I forget who ran third that day.
I think what he really didn't like was an off track. I think Round Table, if I remember, that he just hated off tracks.
Right. Well, he won major races, on both.
Right. Right.
I don't know. I don't know about off track now. Yeah. But anyway, so I got to see him. I missed Assault, and then who came next? Citation, Brit Emerita Citation. So I got to see him. He didn't make it at stud. If I could afford to breed to him,
that's a shame. But of course he raced for a long time, and he raced. Went through a lot of wars. He did.
Yeah, he missed his entire 4-year old season
because
of an injury. Right. And when they brought him back and went out to California, he was not the same horse.
No.
I know. Michael, bless his heart, is prejudiced because they've got Noah buried over there. But when Citation was a 3-year old, he could have pulled a wagon and beat Noah.
He was awfully good horse when he was a 3-year old.
Yeah, he was. I've got something that Joe Palmer wrote about the Citation. I'm going to read here.
Oh, good.
I'll
listen to it on the way home.
Okay. And who came after Citation? Oh, Secretariat, of course. Saw Secretariat.
Yeah. I even raced in that one.
Yeah, where'd you finish?
Warbucks. I didn't finish very well.
Yeah,
and but that's one of the few races that horse ran. He came back the next year and won the Clark. Warbucks did.
Yeah. Oh, he was a nice race. I remember him well.
Nice horse. Just real loved to run, loved to train. Just he loves sodas. The girl used to work for me, Hattie. She used to feed him. She'd open a can of soda. He could hold it up for him, and he wouldn't drop it. He'd just drink it right out of there. You could just hold it. She fed him sandwiches. She fed him everything.
Well, you had to be kind of careful about Coca-Cola, didn't you?
But I didn't even think about that. But she used to give him Coke. She used to do a Coke or 7-Ups or something. I forgot what she did, but she did stuff like that. She gave.
Is that right?
Yeah. All the time. I didn't even think about it, but I guess we were in between races.
I remember the horse real well. I can't remember what it was by, though. It was,
I have to stop and think on that, too. I think I'm thinking Royal Charger.
It stood over at Spencer Farm.
Yeah, I think it was by Royal Charger.
Yeah,
I think that's
top
right.
Sire.
Yeah.
Great sire.
But I think that's right, but I have to stop and think about it, but... But he won 18 races, and he was won the Oakland Handicap. Should have won the Arkansas Derby, just got a horrible ride.
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, he ended up just getting beat. But that's because he was the rider. Just we were 12 lengths off the lead. And he ran from off the pace. At the three-quarter pole, we were 12 lengths off the lead, just sitting perfect. And I didn't want him to move to about the 5/16th pole. That's where you usually move. Well, at the 3/8th pole, after being 12 lengths off the lead, he passed two horses and took the lead at the 3/8th pole, and they were Shecky Green and Pleasure Castle, both of them sprinters.
Yeah.
He passed him at 3/8th pole. Then he just got caught. He just got caught at the wire.
Yeah.
But he moved with the jockey was just a great
Shecky Green was fast horse.
Fast horse. Pleasure Castle belonged to Lassiter. He was a fast horse. They were going head and head, boy. And here I am flying right by him on the outside with a nice guy. He used to gallop horses for me, and I'd let him ride that horse all the time. And he hadn't lost a race on him. But then you put him on that kind of – he wasn't a rider, been running in classics or big races.
Yeah.
He just – he hadn't lost a race on him. He just got overexcited or just moved him way too soon.
Well, everybody makes mistakes.
Yeah.
I made one once.
Yeah. I did too, a real bad one. But I won't even talk about it. It was so bad.
Okay. Well, last Friday, Keeneland, the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, was won by Hit It A Bomb, a 2-year-old Cobra Warfront, bred and owned by Mrs. Evelyn M. Stockwell. Hit It A Bomb is undefeated in 3 starts and was making his first start in this country. He's one of 12 2015 stakes winners by Warfront. 7 of the 12 have won graded stakes, and 4 have won grade 1 stakes. Hit It A Bomb has already accumulated earnings of $599,969, and it's runners such as he that made Warfront the most popular sire at the Keeneland September sales. Winner's yearling sold for a sale topping average of over $600,000. Internationally successful and a son of the great sire Danzig. Warfront stands at Claiborne Farm. Joining him there is his grade one winning son, Data Link, winner of more than $831,000. Now, Warfront's stud fee has climbed to $200,000 doing a full stanza nurses. Data Link, and you better take advantage of it, stands for a reasonable $7,500 under the same terms. And his first foals are weanlings. Also standing at Claiborne are the 2016 for the 2016 season, Algorithms, Arch, Blame, First Samuel, Flatter, and the just-retired Grade 1 winner and millionaire, Lee, second Saturday in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. Orb, Stroll, and Trap Shot. Inquiries to Bernie Sams, 859-233-4252, and see the website at claibonfarm.com. Well, my good friend, Hill Parker, and his lovely bride, Reagan, been in the real estate business for over a dozen years now. And I tell you what, they're real horse people. And they're helping real horse people. If you looking for a farm, I'll tell you what, they'll help you find the perfect place just for you. And they'll keep going till they do it. The price is right. They've got an outstanding variety of locations and sizes and farms for sale right now, all over central Kentucky, and even some outside of there. You know, I mean, and they can handle real estate of all type. They sell coats, they sell homes and everything, whatever. But they're great people. And I would recommend that you talk to them if that time comes that Jack and I are going to have to sell. And I'm with the first people I'm going to call would be Hill and Reagan Parker, because I would trust them to do what's right for us. And that's very, very important. At least it is to me, and it should be to you. So what I want you to do is go to their website and look over what they've got for sale right now if you're looking for a farm. Or if you're thinking about selling a farm, go to their website or give them a call. Now, their website is lexhorsefarms.com, and their phone number is 859-608-8039. Like I say, they're really good horse people. They've got farms for sale now all over on Pisgah Pike and right up the road here on Paris Pike, over on Ironworks, Hume Bedford, out on the Maysville Road, down around Paris. You look for it. They've got great places. If you're looking to buy a farm or looking to sell your farm, you couldn't go any better. It couldn't do any better than Hill and Reagan Park. And once again, it's lexhorsefarms.com, 859-608-8039. Well, tomorrow at Keeneland, Pope McLean Crestwood Farms offering two really nice young broodmare prospects. Hip number 228, a young winning daughter of the grade 2 stakes winner and stakes producer prize stamp. Her first foal is one of Maiden Specials Woodbine since the catalog. She's in foal from a March cover to Golden Sense. Hip number 2494 is in foal from a March cover to Exchange Rate. Is a hard-hitting runner. Truth Will Tell. She's a half-sister to the dam of the multiple graded stakes winner Neck and Neck. He earned over $844,000. Now, Tell Her the Truth earned herself over $147,000. Also in the consignment are weanings by over analyzed Breeders' Cup Classic winner Macho Umo, Jockey Club Gold Cup winner Flat Out, Warrior's Reward of Fleet, Shackleford, and Majestic Perfection, Sire of Kentucky Oaks winner in his first crop, Temple City, Data Link, and Exchange Rate. Outstanding consignment from a farm that has sent more than 250 stakes horses to the races, and you'll find them in barn 39. Ask about consignments later in the sale from Pope McLean Crestwood Farm Agent. And for more about Crestwood Farm, great place to board your mares, see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Down through the years, Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way. And that's why, for more than six decades, a Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So give them a call at 859-255-9406. See the website at sallyvans.com and enjoy the ride.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursa Lellis.
All right. Well, I've got Steve Moody with us. And Steve is the author of the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, which is published, of course, by Bloodstock Research Information Services. And let me say that the feature today is the Chalukyi Stakes. I believe that's right. Isn't that right, Steve?
That's right, Ursula.
Well, who's going to win it?
Well, I think we've got a pretty well-matched group in here. And the favorite is the one horse, Bird at the Wire for Dale Romans, and 2-1 on the morning line. Last time that we saw her was back in May in the Kentucky Oaks. Finished fifth that day in the Oaks, has been working very well for her return to the races. The one big thing about her was her best race, or not probably, her best race by far was the one time that she ran in a one-turn mile, which is what she'll get today in the Chalukyi Stakes. She did break her maiden at Churchill last fall, and she's going to get my pick here. Although I'm not crazy with her being down on the rail in a 1 mile race, it's not a huge field, just eight in there, and she's got some early foot, so I don't think she's going to get shuffled back in there too badly. Couple others to look at: the 6-horse Gold Medal Dancer. It's a mare by Medaglia Doro, and she's got seven career wins. She's pretty versatile. She's shown she can run short, she can run long. Donnie Von Himmel brings her in, Luis Quinones, and I think that she's worth a long look in here. Although she's not a great price either, 5-2. And then Spelling Again, Philly by Awesome Again, 2-for-2 over Fast Tracks, which is what she'll have today. The track is fast at Churchill today. And just for information purposes, the turf is good, although they are off the turf in the 6th race. They're on the turf in the 9th. But Fast Track for the Chalukyi Stakes. I look for Bird at the Wire to be on or near the lead along the inside. Probably the outside, or Shannon Nicole will probably be in front. Look for the other outside horses, Gold Medal Dancer, Keen Pauline, the other Romans horse to be up close. I think Bird at the Wire will be tracking those, and she'll make a run, turn for home, look to take over in the stretch run. So I'm going to give her the edge 1-1-6-4 in the Chalukie Stakes.
All righty. Well, we won't talk about the football game tonight. What it is tonight, isn't it, or is it this afternoon?
Oh, no, no. It's they're 2.5 hours away, high noon.
High noon.
First day game we've had this year.
Yeah, well, what channel's carrying it? SEC?
Yeah, I want to say yes.
I thought the rest is nodding his head over here. I think he thinks that's right too. Yeah,
I think well, it's yes. In the last little video I saw from the Sanford Stadium, it was water everywhere.
Oh my goodness! Well, I just hope they go down and are competitive. There's no doubt that the team's improved, and if they're competitive, then the next three games. If they could pull the next three off, we're sitting in pretty good shape.
Well, Georgia, Ursel, they're in as much turmoil as we have been. They haven't scored a touchdown in 10 quarters, and of course, there's all kind of rumors down there this week that the head coach and the defensive coordinator got into a little mini.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah, but
he might get fired, and there's all. I mean, they've got a lot of problems. So if this is the time to play him, maybe today's the day.
Yeah, but it's Georgia.
Yeah, okay. I mean they've got talent, but they've lost a lot of people, and they're obviously their season is, at least in their mind, is already a bust, and maybe they'll play like the weather is down there, gloomy.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we'll let you go, Steve. Appreciate it. And I can always use a winner. And if you want a winner, pick up the Kentucky Handicapper sheet. Just go to brisnet.com, BRISNET.com. Or you can pick it up out at Keeneland or wherever they're having a simulcast now. Where are they having them? Still out at Red Mile?
I thought that they were at Keeneland, but I might be wrong about that. I don't.
Yeah.
I do all my stuff from home these days, so.
Okay. Well,
I couldn't tell you.
All right. Well, okay. Anyway, you can go to brisnet.com and get it for sure. And Steve, thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, Ursel.
All right. Well, October 30 at Keeneland, the Grade 2 $200,000 Marathon Stakes, won by Bailout Bobby, a 5-year-old horse by Mizzen Mass. The very next day, Green Mask, a 4-year-old by Mrs. Mass, ran third in the Grade 1 $1 million Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint, going 5.5 furlongs, just got beat a neck and a half length for all the money. So there, look at that. From 5.5 furlongs on the grass to 1.75 miles on dirt, that's why I call Mrs. Mass one of the most versatile sires in North America. He sired 7 Grade 1 winners and all. He came within less than a length out of Keeneland the other day for getting his 8th. And not only that, but Flimby, my Mizzen Mass, was 2nd earlier this year in the Grade 1 Just a Game Stakes. Just got beat a half length by Tappet, who won the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Mile. So, golly, there's another one who's knocking on the door in Grade 1 Stakes. Of course, he sired the winners of 3 Breeders' Cup races. He sired a champion 2-year-old. He sired a classic winning filly. And he sired the winners of graded stakes on dirt, grass. He sired graded stakes when sprinting, going long, and on every conceivable type of racing surface. Of course, he himself won Grade 1 Stakes sprinting on the dirt, graded stakes going long on the grass. And he's by champion sire Cozine. And Mizzen Mass pedigree offers an outcross to Stormcat, Mr. Prospector, and Bull Ruler Lion Mare. Stands at Judmont Farm. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, and see the website, judmont.com. Horses raised on products from McCauley Brothers won 4 Breeders' Cup races last week. In fact, they ran 1-3 in the Breeders' Cup Classic and 1-2 in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. American Pharoah arrived at Vinery as a suckling, remained into his yearling year, and third Running third in the Classic was Honor Code, who was raised at Dale Ridge Farm. In the Breeders' Cup Sprint, Run Happy was bred by Wayne Gray and Brian Lister. He bested Private Zone, who was bred by Adina Springs. Hit It A Bomb was raised at Ashford Stud for Mrs. Evelyn Stockwell, and he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Mile. And Teppin, winner of the Breeders' Cup Mile, was bred by Mark Mahal. In other weekend stakes, the Grade 3 Bull Ruler won the Matur at Windstar Farm. It was bred by Windstar Farm. And Keeneland's Perryville Stakes winner, Hebronville, was raised at Three Chimneys for a breeder, Padua. The Showing Up Stakes at Gulfstream went to Watch Your Own Bobber. It was bred by Ashview Farm and Colt's Neck Stable, raised at Ashview. And then on Wednesday, the Grade 2 Nazareth Stakes was won by Mo Hagman, bred by Clear Skies Farm. So far this year, horses raised on Macaulay products have won 177 stakes, 90 graded stakes, 34 grade one. So for maximum results at the races, look to Macaulay Brothers. Call Mike Warren or David Longmire at 859-873-3333. See the website at MacaulayBros.com. And you're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, that's where it's all about the horse. Well, Daily Racing Form's here's what I want you to do. I want you to check out their breeding update. And what you do, you go to drf.com/breeding and sign up. Let me give that to you, drf.com/breeding, and sign up today. And I tell you what, they always have great articles in there. They give you up-to-date statistics and so forth by top writers from their wonderful staff. We were talking about the Racing Form earlier when Michael was here before he carried off my Sunday edition without anyway, it's a great newspaper. Everybody knows that. And the articles Don Combs was mentioning, Jesus, almost like a magazine now. The articles that you get in there with Jay Hovday and people like that writing, it's worth your while just for that. Besides all the past performances that they carry, and they usually have about 8 sets of past performances. The Daily Racing Form is American's Bible. There's no two ways about that. Also, on that Tuesday edition, you can find the most comprehensive stakes report available anywhere for owners and breeders. And it's in that DRF breeding update, you know. It provides full details of all black type stakes in North America, pedigrees, progeny reports of the female family, information on the winning sire. Available every Tuesday. So go to drf.com/breeding. drf.com/breeding. It's a wonderful paper. Racing's Bible, the Daily Racing Form.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lele.
All right, I got to take care of my friends over to Kentucky Thoroughbred Association if I can find those stakes races. Here they are in the Derbrus. Let's look at stakes winners bred in Kentucky. Over the past weekend, the Breeders' Cup Classic winner, American Pharaoh, by Pioneer the Nile, who stands over at Windstar Farm, bred by Zayat Stables. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile, Nyquist, by Uncle Mo, who stands, of course, at Ashford Stud, bred by Summerhill Farms. The Breeders' Cup Mile, Teppin, by Bernstein, bred by Mock Mahal, over in Bourbon County. I could get those folks on the show. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint, Run Happy by Super Saver, stands at Windstar Farm, bred by Wayne Gray and Brian Lister. I need to get them on the show, too. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Phillies Mare Turf, Stephanie's Kitten by Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Phillies and Mares Sprint winner, Wavell Avenue by Harlington, bred by Eugene Melnick. Whoops, Folding Canada. Shouldn't be in there. The Grade 1 the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Sprint winner, Mongolian Saturday, was not foaled in Mongolia. He's by any given Saturday, he was foaled right up here on the Paris Pike at Normandy Farm, where Fairplay's buried, by the way. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile Phillies winner, Songbird, by Medalli Dodo, bred by John Antonelli. The Breeders' Cup Distaff winner, Stop Charging Maria, A Tale of the Cat. Stands at Ashford Stud, bred by Harvey Clark and Brookdale Farm. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies winner, Catch a Glimpse by City Zip, bred by Branch Equine. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner, Leon's Map, by Unbridled Song, bred by Allbauer Family Stables. The Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf winner, Hit at a Bomb by Warfront, bred by Evelyn Stockwell. Let's see here. Let me pick this one up. The Grade 2 Marathon Stakes, Bailout Bobby by Mizzen Mass, bred by Kirk and Debbie Wyckoff. Mizzen Mass at Judmont. Race Day won the Grade 2 Fayette Stakes by Tappet, bred by James Miller. The Grade 3 Bull Ruler Handicap, Martru won that by Distorted Humor, another Windstar Stallion, and was bred by Windstar Farm. Races for Shadwell. The Bryan Station Stakes at winner at Keeneland went to Tweet Kitten by Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Perryville Stakes at Keeneland went to Hebronville. Majestic Perfection stands down at Airdrie Stud, bred by Padua Stables. The Fort Spring Stakes at Keeneland, Michelle won that by Elusive Quality, bred by Jam LTD. The Rags to Riches Stakes at Churchill winner, Stage Play by Curlin, bred by Mike Rutherford. The Street Sense Stakes at Churchill Downs went to Mo Tom by Uncle Mo, of course Uncle Mo at Ashford, bred by Hawkerson, Sandra Sexton, and Silver Fern Farm. The Turn Back the Alarm Stakes at Belmont Park, America won that by AP Indy, bred by Bobby Flay Thoroughbreds. The Chelsea Flower Stakes at Belmont Park went to Ava's Kitten, another Kitten's Joy, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The Pumpkin Pie Stakes at Belmont Park. See, I wonder why they did that. Named it Pumpkin Pie this early, and should have named it that closer to Thanksgiving, you would think. Anyway, Lady Sibelia won it by Majestic Warrior. Oh, it's another Ashford Stud stallion. This one bred by Mrs. Frank Wright. The Laurel Turf Cup at Laurel.
Very good.
And how about that? Is another Giant's Causeway, of course, at Airdrie Stud, and Wren Polson and Hare Forest Farm, the breeders. The Seller Shiraz Stakes at Gulfstream Park went to Susie B. by English Channel. Bluegrass Hall, the breeders, showing up stakes at Gulfstream Park. Watch Your Own Bobber, must be a fisherman, named this one. Anyway, it's a hard spun, bred by Ashview Stud and Colt's Neck Stables. The Let It Ride Stakes at Del Mar winner, Crittenden by Distorted Humor, bred by Darley. The Pike Place Dancer Stakes stays in Vegas by City Zip, bred by John McCormick. The Pennsylvania Hunt Cup Timber Stakes at 4 miles went to a Dynaformer, bred by Arthur Hancock at Stone Farm. That's some putting some bottom on them, Arthur. The Grade 2 Nazareth Stakes, this was on Wednesday at Aqueduct. The winner was a Tappet colt, a two-year-old named Behaman, bred by Clear Sky Farms. Ooh, wee. Now, close fall off a three-year-old filly by De Hare just missed in the $100,000 Fort Springs, incidentally. It stakes at Keeneland last Saturday. Closing between horses to finish a neck back in another game performance. This is the three-year-old filly by De Hare. She won a $77,000 allowance test on October the 15th in New York, and she has finished first or second in six of her seven starts. She's earned over $174,000. Only time she was ever off the board, she had a nightmare trip in the Grade 2 Prioress, and according to the official chart of the race, she was bumped at the start, was checked, and then the rider lost his whip. She was bred by Dean Hayes and Shadwell Farm, and closed fall off and was sold at the OBS March sale for $150,000. De Hare is also the sire this year of Mamduha, who registered a fourth stakes win by taking the correction at New York. She's earned over $325,000. She's also placed in the Grade 2 Distaff and a Grade 3 Vagrancy. Our Caravan of Stakes placed at Delaware this year. Of course, he won the $150,000 Calder Derby last year. He's a stakes placed three-year-old over in France. As a matter of fact, De Hare, who was a Grade 1 winner himself, and he's by Austin McGinn, has sired 14% stakes horses from foals. Stand to Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to Stallion Manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? then Brissette.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand, go to Brissette.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, Brissette.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. Race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit Brissette.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR online.
Well, American Pharoah, the first horse in history to win the Triple Crown and the Breeders' Cup Classics by Pioneer of the Nile, and Pioneer of the Nile stands at Windstar Farm. Run Happy, winner of the Breeders' Cup Sprints by Super Saver, and Super Saver stands at Windstar Farm. American Pharoah set a new track record in the Classic, going a mile and a quarter in 2 minutes. Run Happy set a new track record in a sprint, going 6 furlongs in 8 and 2. Pioneer of the Nile is the nation's leading third crop sire. He's climbed to number 3 on the North American sire list. Super Saver is the sire of 16 stakes horses in his first 2 crops, 8 stakes winners, 6 graded stakes winners, 3 grade 1 winners, including Embellish the Lace, who won the Classic Grade 1 Alabama. American Pharoah is a virtual lock for Horse of the Year. Run Happy is odds on to earn the Eclipse Award as champion sprinter to compete at the highest level. Look through the stallions at Windstar Farm. Just call Kyle Wilson or Sean Tugel or Carolyn Waltz. At 859-873-1717, see the website, windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
I got a few minutes here, and I threatened to read something that Joe Palmer had written about Citation, so I'm going to do that right now. This was from American Racehorses of 1948, which was, of course, his 3-year-old year. So here we go. On November 1, 1947, word came to Pimlico that Man O' War died in the fullness of his years at Faraway Farm. And the news set many a veteran horseman to recalling the red flame that had flickered through American racing in 1919 and 1920. At the end of each tale, there would be a sage wag of the head and some form of, "We'll never see another one like him." Across the racetrack, the slanting rays of a yellow November sun were falling on the green barn which housed Citation, which was to try a week later to see what he could do about the Pimlico Futurity, a race which had not seen its inaugural running when Man O' War left the tracks. Not quite a year later, on October the 29th, 1948, Citation was back at Pimlico for the Pimlico Special, and there was none to answer his challenge. Throughout America's empire of racing, inexpressibly larger than in Man O' War's time, there was not a horseman that wanted any part of him. And some of the same horses were saying, "That's the best horse I ever saw." It is not the purpose of this chapter to suggest that Citation was a greater horse than Man O' War, or vice versa. But a certain amount of comparison is unavoidable, and the facts which appear pertinent will be set down as impartially as possible. It is insisted that there is no actual proof one way or the other. One veteran remarked in 1948 that good as Citation was, he had beaten no horses like John P. Greer, or Wild Air, or Upset, or Sir Barton. But others thought that Phalanx and My Request and Better Self, not to mention Arm, were the peers of anything that had trailed the Red Champion of 1920. Actually, the comparative quality of Man O' War and Citation cannot be measured unless the quality of their opposition is measured, and the opposition's clash cannot be estimated unless one knows the quality of the horses which beat them so unmercifully. So this is a circle without end. Comparative time does not mean a great deal either, because neither horse was pressed, and there is an unavoidable variation in track conditions. The latter item is usually exaggerated. These modern tracks were used to explain fast time in 1920, just as they're used in 1948. But it is undeniable that the surfaces of such tracks as Hialeah and Arlington Park, to name only two, are faster than anything that Man O' War raced over. All I want to talk about the only time that he got beat is a three-year-old, Citation. That was in the Washington Park Futurity. The next start was the Washington Park Futurity on August 16th, in which Calumet decided to go the whole way. Bewitch, Citation, and Free America formed the entry, and it finished 1-2-3 as named. Bewitch was giving Citation 4 actual pounds, and she beat him a length. However, he made up about 4 lengths on her in the last furlong, and some observers thought that he was not used hard, since the stable wanted to keep Bewitch's record unmarred. Steve Brooks rode Citation in this race. Doug Dawson was up on Bewitch. Debate as to whether Citation could have got to his stablemate is somewhat idle. And since it could have been extremely bad riding on Brooks' part to try, or on Dawson's part to ride the filly out with 2 stablemates behind her, at any rate, Bewitch had a considerable edge and experience, and at that stage was probably the fastest two-year-old in the nation. Her time for the race was in unpressed in 1:10.2. That was his only defeat as a two-year-old. Of course, he went on and lost just 1 race as a three-year-old, and that was to Saggy in the Chesapeake Trial Stakes. And he was beaten about a length that day, and in a lot of mud, and you'd have to give him an excuse. It was early in the season. I think it was about his 5th start and up in Maryland. And R. Carroll didn't ride him too hard that day. But, you know, Saggy was a good racehorse. Anyway, he was and went on to be a very good sire as far as that goes. But anyway, Joe Palmer ended up writing this. How good was Citation? Nobody knows. How good was Dempsey or Tilden or Ruth? There are some figures in the record books, but they do not constitute a measure. Citation was peerless in his time, as they were peerless. Whatever comparisons may be made or avoided, Citation, with his first 2 seasons, Jones Man of War and Sisonby and Colin and Hanover and Clifford, is one of the unforgettable horses of the American turf. After the Belmont Stakes, our Carroll came back with wonder, as well as pleasure on his face. He said, and this is a quote, "I just let him run a little up on the turn, then I took a hold of him again. He went so fast it scared me." Citation. So I think he was probably, in my estimation, maybe the greatest of the Triple Crown horses. Did you find that Spendthrift? Yeah, good. My good man over here. All right, well, there's an open house for inspection of the Spendthrift stallions today from 1 until 3, and it will extend through Friday, November the 13th. New stallions available for inspection are Danza, Metal Camp, Normandy Invasion, Victor's Cry, Wicked Strong. Now, Danza won the Grade 1 Arkansas Derby, beating Breeders' Cup Classic winner Bayern that day. He also placed in the Kentucky Derby, and he's by the very popular Young Sire Street Boss. Medal counts by Dinah Farmer. He won Graded Stakes at Keeneland and placed in the Grade 1 Bluegrass and also the Grade 1 Belmont Stakes. Norman Invasion, the son of Tappet, ran 1st, 2nd, and 7th of his 12 starts, including the Grade 1 Wood and the Grade 2 and a pair of Grade 2 Stakes. Now, he's going to stand up in New York at the Keene Stud, but you can see him now before he ships out. Victor's Cry by Street Cry won the Grade 1 Shoemaker Mile, 1:32.4. He also won the Grade 2 Citation, and he's his sire's most accomplished son at stud. Wicked Strong is by Hardspun, is doing extremely well. He won the Grade 1 Wood. He won the Grade 2 Jim Dandy and was 2nd by Nose in the Grade 1 Travers. So while you're visiting there, be sure to inquire about Spendthrift's popular Breed Secure program, or the Share the Upside program. Programs that have earned Spendthrift the reputation of being the breeder's farm. So talk to Des Dempsey or Brian Lyle or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
Jackie, you up to doing any announcements? If sure. Not, I've got something else that I can
no,
do.
No, I can do some announcements.
Okay, Jackie, if you lose your voice in the middle.
I'll yell. Okay. Oh, that's my phone. How funny. Spendthrift is having an open house.
Wait a minute, hold on.
Let's see. Spendthrift's having an open house through today through November the 13th.
1 to 3 in the afternoon.
That's very good.
Oh, 12 to 3, isn't it? 12 to 3. I better look at it.
Yeah, I better look at it.
I just said it on the commercial.
1 to 3.
I was right.
You were right. Lunch is served.
Have a donut, Charlie.
We're out here at the Thoroughbred Training Center, and don't forget you can buy your planks in post to get your fences fixed, and they'll paint them. And we just had ours painted, and they are gorgeous. They did a beautiful job. So it's 253-1853.
They put the paint on so thick, holding the fences up.
Holding the fences up. Something has to. And also the home of the Jockey School. It's Bluegrass Community Technical College. It's a North American Racing Academy. You get 2 years credit. It's an associate degree. You can... It's not just jockeys. It's be a trainer, groom, assistant trainer. And they find you a job because they know everybody on earth in the horse business. So come on up and check it out if you like. Also, Dina Stallions, an open house today and tomorrow from 10 until 2. No appointment necessary. Come on out and check out the Stallions. It's a beautiful farm. Absolutely stunning. Okay, today is November 7th. Today and tomorrow at Lakeside Arena in Versailles is a Hunter Jumper show. If you want some more information, call Bruce Brown at 873-9155. It is this weekend at the Horse Park through tomorrow, the United States Dressage Finals. Big deal. It's at Altec Arena. Go on out and enjoy it. Today is also the High School Athletic Association Cross Country Championships for the state of Kentucky. Through the 11th through the 15th is the Holiday Market Junior League of Lexington at Altec Arena sells Christmas decorations. Third annual Sporting Art Auction will be held at Keeneland on November the 18th. It's beautiful stuff. A lot of really old, gorgeous paintings and stuff. So go on out. It's November the 18th at the Sales Pavilion. You can call out there for more information.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. What were we talking about? I got a minute or two. How much money? I got time?
Two and a half minutes.
We're talking about Triple Crown winners. It's stud. We were earlier, and of course, American Pharoah is going down to Ashford Stud. He'll get every opportunity down there. They know how to make stud. So good luck to him. And I tell you, the percentages of the 11 previous Triple Crown winners, three of them topped the sire list. Three of them went on to become leading sires, War Admiral and Count Fleet and Seattle Slough. And two were very good sires, Secretariat and Affirm. And then Sir Barton was the first one. He ended up in a remount out in Wyoming. Gallant Fox was a disappointment instead, although he did sire three good ones in Omaha, Flares and Granville. Of course, Omaha won the Triple Crown, and he was a flop. He ended up and in Nebraska.
That's what happens to you if you don't, you're not any good. You get sent out in the West.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
Runaway went was exported to France. He was just an ordinary kind of a sire. He sired a few things. Assault was sterile.
Oops.
And ended up in retirement down at King Ranch in Texas. Citation was a disappointment. He sired 12 stakes winners. He did sire a Preakness winner in Fabius, and of course, Mr. C.V. Whitney's Silver Spoon was a top race mama. She was absolutely a wonderful filly. Ran fifth in the Derby.
Was she a good producer?
You know, I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, but of course, the best sire of them all was Seattle Slough. I mean, he's, of course, he sired APN, and he's just a big influence on American
sire
racing.
Sire of sires.
And I assume I got my man over here on my right, Ressy, he says, I've got a minute left, and I'm just now beginning to hear the music. So that I want to thank Don Combs for sitting in with me, Michael Bowen for coming in, and.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't get last week's show up. I had a cold. I will do that today.
Okay. Oh, Robert, thank you down at the station. I assume that Cameron Mills is on next. And thank you, Ressy, here. And we'll talk to you next week.
Who cares about the clouds when we're together?